Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. I'll read it out loud and ask you to listen along silently as we consider our theme this evening, based upon the Apostles' Creed of Jesus Christ as our prophet. Jesus Christ as our prophet. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 26. I'll begin with verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. This is the good word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray you indeed would be our teacher. We know, oh Lord, that we need your holy instruction. We need your wholesome education. We need a good word from the Lord. And so we pray that you would speak, oh Lord, for we are listening. Speak to your bondservant and your maidservant. Instruct us in the ways we are to go. And by grace through your Holy Spirit, we will hear and we will heed. Please bless this now, your preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Have you ever felt like you have absolutely no clue with what you are doing with your life? All right. Have you ever felt like everybody's mad at you? Okay. Or have you ever felt like there is absolutely nothing you can do about the problems in life that are vexing you? Well, I bet you have. I have felt these ways. I think you have too. And one reason I know that you have felt these ways is because the Bible tells us we have three fundamental problems in life, and we feel it almost every single day. We feel ignorant, we feel alone, and we feel powerless. Sometimes we feel ignorant. Okay, have you ever had this experience where you've said to yourself, "Why didn't my mom and dad teach me this?" No? Okay, how about this one? "Why didn't they teach me that in school?" Right? You ever feel that way? Yes, you have. You know, I'm never surprised, and it's a little depressing, you who are in your 20s and 30s, I'm never surprised to meet someone in their 50s and 60s who still feel ill-equipped for life. And that is no joke. To meet someone way past the midway point, and they feel like they are still unprepared and ill-equipped for life. In fact, some of the most brilliant philosophers of ancient Greece used to walk around from city to city, and it would irritate people, but they would walk around and they would say, "I know nothing. Don't listen to me. I know absolutely nothing." Well, I bet you feel that way sometimes, and it's because there is a reason. You are ignorant. You are ignorant. Ephesians 4, verse 18 declares this. Paul says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts. We are ignorant. You know, other times we feel alone. Have you ever been part of a group, but you just got this feeling, I don't belong here. I want to belong. I want to fit in. I really do, but I don't feel like I do. Sometimes we feel so isolated from our neighbors. Sometimes we feel so isolated from God. Somehow we know that we have somehow disappointed the people around us, or we have disappointed the living God. My mom is a native of the great state of West Virginia. She grew up in the hills for 20 years before she moved to the state of Ohio, where they raised me. So I'm raised Buckeye. I'm Ohio. But they were mountain people, raised me there, and mom lived there for 40 years, and she still to this day describes those 40 years in Ohio as her years in the wilderness. 40 years. More than almost half her life, feeling like she didn't fit in. I recently met a retired pastor from a large church in Grand Rapids who for many years had become so busy working and juggling everything in ministry that he stopped praying, just stopped. And he felt very distant from God. So sometimes we feel alone and alienated. We see this in Romans 3, verse 17. It says, "And the way of peace with God and neighbor, they do not know." And then finally, sometimes we feel powerless. Have you ever asked yourself, why do I keep doing the same dumb thing again and again? I'm not the only one. I know you feel that, right? You know, that's our definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over, hoping to see different results. We do the same dumb thing over again and again. It dishonors God and it brings us misery. And lo and behold, we just keep doing it. Again and again and again. We know we should stop. We would like to stop, but we can't. We cannot muster the self-control to say no. Romans 7, verse 15 describes it so well. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Well, those are three problems described in the Bible of your and my daily experience. We are ignorant, we are alone, and we are powerless. As an old Reformed theologian, Francis Turretin, liked to say, these are the threefold misery of man introduced by sin. Well, I have good news for you tonight. God sent Jesus to solve those three problems, to solve them for you. How do I know? Because God gave Jesus the name Christ. It's a beautiful name. The Apostles' Creed that the global church, the universal church, teaches as the gospel truth says, I believe in Jesus Christ. Back in the olden days, if you needed a new set of shoes for your horse, you'd go to a man named Smith. If you needed a new set of clothing, well, you'd go to a man named Taylor. And if you need help with ignorance and loneliness and weakness, you need to go to a man named Christ. Because Christ means Messiah, and Messiah means anointed. And anointed people can do something for you. Let me explain. In ancient Israel, there were three professions that God had ordained among the covenant people to meet their deepest needs. And all of them were offices which required anointing, being an anointed one to pursue. First was the office of prophet. And we see in 1 Kings 19, verse 16, It says, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. The second office instituted by our Lord that required anointing was that of priest. And there we see in Exodus 30:30, he wrote, anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. The third profession in the Old Covenant that required anointing was that of king. 1 Samuel 15:1, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. These three offices were sometimes called the anointed ones. They were installed in their public office by the anointing of oil. Well, as time passed, God kindled a hope within his people that one day someone, some great one, would rise up and perform the function of all three. This is called the messianic hope. That one day a Messiah, a grand anointed one, would come, and the anointed one would appear, one who could do the work of prophet and priest and king all in one person. And what would this anointed one do? Well, what do prophets do? Prophets take care of ignorance. They tell us God's will for our life and salvation. What do priests do? Priests take care of our alienation from God and our loneliness and alienation from the community. And they take us by the hand and usher us into the community again after we'd been sent away and usher us into the presence of God. And the priest, and then the prophet, what do kings do? They take care of us in our weakness. They are the ones who guide us, protect us, and mobilize us, and encourage us. And so through the ministry and person of Jesus Christ, your threefold deep needs are met, completely met in Jesus. And so those bumper stickers are right. When they say Jesus is the answer, or Jesus is the way, they mean that these three deepest needs in humanity are met in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your need for knowledge, your need for forgiveness, your need for power met through union with Jesus. And so today we're looking, tonight rather, we're looking at our need for knowledge, how Christ serves as our prophet. And in the next 2 weeks, we will look at him as our priest and then as our king. But in the meantime, tonight we focus on Jesus as our prophet. Let me read verses 22 and 23 again from our text. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. And anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. Now, Jesus is that prophet of whom Moses spoke. He is described elsewhere. You'll see here the prophet Isaiah described Jesus as a counselor. Isn't that neat? That our Messiah is a wonderful counselor. Have you ever had someone recommend to you a counselor and say, oh, they're a wonderful counselor. Go see this wonderful counselor. That's Jesus. John called him the light of the world, dispelling darkness, dispelling lies, dispelling fog. Where Jesus is, there's always light. Jesus is the light of the world. John, in the book of Revelation, calls him the bright morning star. When you're alone in the earliest morning and in isolation, wondering where to go, what's the answer? And there's that light in the night. That's Jesus. The writer of Hebrews calls him the apostle and messenger of our confession. The writer of Hebrews tells us he's a messenger, an apostle officially sent by God. And then we see... Yeah, I said them all. There we go. So Jesus, the Bible calls Jesus by so many names to indicate this. Elsewhere, he's called a rabbi or a prophet, a teacher, a messenger, a counselor. Call him whatever name means much to you as you read the Bible. But if you need knowledge and guidance for life, listen to Jesus. And there are three reasons why tonight you need to listen to Jesus as your prophet. Firstly, we learn that Jesus as prophet is reliable because Jesus knows your future. Jesus knows the future, knows your future. That's what prophets do. The prophets know the future with certainty. Do you remember some of the old prophets from the Old Testament? These guys were not always the most well-liked. They really weren't. I mean, it's a bum rap being a prophet. It's a rough life. It's not a glamour life in the Old Covenant being a prophet. They would often shock people. They'd scare people. They'd frighten people. And one way they did that was by predicting the future with alarming accuracy. And often those predictions weren't, well, warmly received. The prophet Jonah, remember, he showed up. Maybe there's still seaweed hanging on his body and acid from the stomach of a fish. You know, he shows up looking pale white maybe, and he tells them in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Scared the malarkey out of Nineveh. And then later the prophet Jeremiah, you know, his moniker, the weeping prophet, how would you like that as your career? Hey, you're the weeping IT technician. You know, you're going to have a lot of fun with that one. Well, Jeremiah would always anger the people because he predicted he was the prophet charged with being the guy who told them about the fall of Jerusalem. That's the tectonic fall of the Old Testament after the fall and plunge of humanity into sin. And the people listened. They knew these guys were right about the future. And yet they weren't always happy to get the news. And then we read earlier in this service that if a prophet failed to predict the future accurately, they weren't a real prophet. Moses said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid. However, Jesus predicted the future with great accuracy, so he is a prophet you and I should listen to. First of all, we see this prophetic ability of Jesus in the prophecies made about Jesus that we see in the Bible. These prophecies about Jesus all came true. I know of one statistician who's worked out there are more than 300 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in detail about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he would be born in Bethlehem. That he would be crucified among thieves, buried in a rich man's grave, raised from the dead. Many prophecies about Jesus came true. But we also see it, secondly, in prophecies made by Jesus himself. Jesus prophesied his own death and resurrection before it happened. He predicted the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. He told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. He predicted the scattering of the disciples when his enemies came. He predicted the martyrdom of John. He predicted the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He predicted the destruction of the Jewish temple. He told us there would be the rise of many false messiahs during the church age. He predicted the persecution of the church and the spreading of the gospel to all the nations before he would come again. These things are happening, and they have happened. What Jesus said 2,000 years ago stands remarkably true and remarkably fulfilled in our generation. And that's a pretty good test for a true prophet. Because if you haven't noticed, it's hard to predict the future. It is. Here are just a few of the worst predictions ever made in world history. Journalist Janius Brown said this in 1893. Over the next century, law will be simplified. Lawyers will have diminished, and their fees will be greatly decreased and have been vastly curtailed. All right. Talk about prophetic. How about this one? Computer scientist John von Neumann said this in 1949. It would appear we have reached the limits of what is possible to achieve with computer technology. All right. Woo. Okay, one more. Roger Smith, chairman of my dad's old company. You're going to like this one, Chuck. All right. In 1986, he said, by the turn of the century, we will live in a paperless society. All right. Okay, it's not easy to make even one prediction about the future with certainty. All right? Jesus did it again and again. And even now, the things Jesus said, eerily, remarkably true in our own generation. Few people look into the future with success, and then it usually only takes a couple months or a couple years to see how silly their words were. Jesus did it. And Jesus didn't do just a five-day forecast, and we know how well those work, right? Five-day forecast. Plan your picnic around that. No, and Jesus didn't just do a 12-month almanac, you know, those hazy ones that sort of say it in a way that it could go any way. No, Jesus foretold the future of the Christian church from his resurrection to his second coming with remarkable accuracy. It makes me want to listen to Jesus. I hope you too. Because you see, there is much of your uncertainty about life is because you are ignorant of the future. If you and I could foretell what would happen in the next 24 hours, you know, you could be a billionaire by tomorrow night, same time, if you could foretell that. Well, you know what? You are able to know all you need for life and godliness upcoming in the next 24 hours. Listen to Jesus. Listen to your prophet. Secondly, we should listen to Christ as prophet, firstly, because he knows the future, all that was said about his future, all he has said about our future. But secondly, we should listen to Christ because as prophet, he does what prophets do. He reveals the will of God for our salvation. That's what prophets do. They reveal the will of God for redemption, for salvation, for deliverance. And of course, in verse 23, what's the warning in Acts 3, verse 23? Anyone who does not listen to him is cut off. That's salvation language. That means you're being cut out of salvation. You are not included in salvation or in deliverance or in rescue. If you don't listen to the prophet, you're cut out. But if you do listen to the prophet, says verse 23, you are grafted in. So if you listen and do what Christ says, you will be saved. Now, the reason we need a prophet to teach us how to be saved is because you and I don't naturally know how to be saved, how to be delivered. It is not an intuitive knowledge. The gospel of salvation being a free gift from God through faith in Jesus on the cross doesn't come intuitively to our minds. Sometimes it doesn't seem right. I mentioned a few months back an illustration. When the instant cake mix was first introduced in the early 20th century, it was a flop. It was simple. You simply added water and you would bake, and this seemed too easy to the American public. It made them think this product's weird. I'm not buying that. So the company made the recipe a little harder and said you needed to add water and include one egg. Well, the idea worked splendidly. Sales jumped. And that's often how people react to the gospel. To them, the gospel, how one is saved, seems too easy. Show me a mountain to climb. Show me a quest. Show me all my wealth to give away. Show me something heroic that makes me, you know, do religion the old-fashioned way. We earn it. That's the intuitive way humanity thinks. And so we are forever tinkering with salvation. We are forever inventing five pillars on how to get to heaven, or an eightfold path to be enlightened, or doing good deeds to build our karma, or keeping all the rules meticulously to earn God's favor. That's the way we humans naturally think. We need a prophet to walk up to us and say, cut it out. That's not the way. The way is through a free gift of grace by Jesus Christ. We need a prophet to tell us that. It's something that must be taught. And then you know what? You have to keep reteaching it because people forget a year later or 2 years later. They'll think, all right, I've been saved by free grace, and within 2 years they're acting like it's all on their shoulders. And so you need Jesus, your prophet, to keep telling you. Someone once said that religion is man's, well, Bill Welzine says this all the time in that video you saw this morning. Bill says, religion is man's efforts to reach God. Christianity is God's efforts to reach man. You need to be taught that. It's not intuitive. So this is why Jesus, our great prophet, issued the Great Commission. Yes, he issued the Great Commission to go ye therefore and teach all nations something they won't naturally know, the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And that is why Jesus sends preachers. That's why I am sent as one of his army of preachers to preach the gospel to every living creature. They need this knowledge. People need to be taught. You need to be taught. I need to be taught. Don't be frustrated when you are confused about life and about direction and what you need for your redemption. When you don't know what to do or which way to turn, that describes everybody in this room. By nature, we are ignorant. Some of you older ones who I've known for many years often say things to me like this, "Pastor, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know." That's a really frustrating phenomenon. You get your PhD, or you stay married for 50 years, or you parent multiple children, and at the end of it, you say, the more I've learned, the less I realize I know. That is the human condition. And since that is the case, you need to listen to Jesus, even as you get old. Even as you get older, you need Jesus cognizantly even more. And so what that means, dear church, is every time you hear a sermon, listen. Listen. Every time you open your Bible, then listen to it. Jesus is talking to you. I know it's hard to believe that sometimes, that Jesus is talking to you when you open your Bible and you read it, or when you hear a minister preach. We ministers are, oh my goodness, we have so many shortcomings, so many reasons for you to go, this is really Jesus speaking through this man. But Jesus is talking. And when a minister preaches a message, Jesus is talking to you. So perk up, listen up. Curl up on the couch with a warm cup of cocoa and listen to your Lord Jesus. Because if you're like me, you're going to need lots of it, lots of instruction. Because you and I are first-class ignoramus. I know it hurts to hear. I know it hurts to hear. It's true. My mom used to, when she'd get frustrated with me as a kid, she had this old mountain saying. She said, "Steve, don't be as dumb as a sled runner." I don't know what a sled runner is. I've looked it up on Google trying to figure out where that expression came from. I don't know what a sled runner is, but she said, "Don't be as dumb as one." And that is true. And so listen up. And that is why I love it when people come to church, when they listen to sermons, take notes, sit on the edge of their seats, because people are listening to the Lord Jesus, and you'll be blessed indeed. This brings us to our final point, why we need Jesus as our prophet. First, because he knows the future. Secondly, because he reveals to us the will of God for our salvation. And finally, we listen to Jesus because as prophet, he demonstrates his teaching. He proves his teaching to be real and true. And Jesus shows his preaching and teaching to be true by his holy life, and by his miracles, and by his martyrdom, and by his resurrection. Now let's think about the prophets of old. Many of those prophets didn't end so well, did they? There were many prophets who didn't grow old in their beds, and enjoying the final months and years of their lives. No, the old covenant prophets, these guys were oddballs, and many were a little nutcasey. They didn't live luxury in the king's court. Their lives were hard. They would wear rough clothing to send a message. Their diets would be restricted to send a message. They lived holy lives under distressing circumstances to teach their hearers a message. Many of them did signs and wonders. We think of the 10 plagues. We think of the parting of the Red Sea, the raising of the dead, the being fed by ravens, the appearing and then disappearing and then reappearing. And these true prophets were unpopular. Many of them lived short lives. Their life insurance policies were expensive. And that describes Jesus. That describes Jesus to a T. He validates his holy words by his holy living. his followers who knew him best and could have ratted him out. They really could have. They could have ratted Jesus out and stopped the movement in the early years. But no, those his followers kept writing things about him. They would say things like, he's the spotless Lamb of God. They would say things like, he committed no sin. They would say things, come and see this man, for in him is no guile. You know, I don't know any family member or friend who would call me spotless. I don't know of a single one. And if you have that opinion of me, you don't know me well. But those who knew Jesus best admired him most. And Jesus attested not only by his holy life, but also by his miracles. And Jesus did not do raw miracles. You know what a raw miracle is? A raw miracle is, hey, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. There's the dollar. There's the quarter coming behind your ear. That is not the kind of miracles Jesus did. Every miracle Jesus did was calculated to teach a spiritual truth. Because the miracle ends, but the truth it imparts lives on. The miracle was showing redemption and how it would be accomplished, and that lives on. Jesus wasn't a trickster. He was not a flamboyant Houdini. He relieved human suffering with his miracles. He pointed the way to heaven by his miracles. So he validated his teaching by his holy living, by his miracles, and then finally, he gave it all, his martyrdom. He suffered as a martyr. Jesus did not teach or prophesy to enrich his pockets, to go build a $2 million mansion on a $3 million piece of land so that helicopters have to fly over and show us how this prophet's living. No. Those prophets of old were always, those false prophets would always jockey for position. They were courting the rich and the powerful, but not Jesus. Instead, the Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus, who was rich, left his riches and glory to become poor so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. That's why you should listen to Jesus. He is the real deal. There's just something about Jesus. There's just something about his life. There's just something about his miracles. There's something about his martyrdom that commends us to him to us as a prophet teaching the very word of God. You know, as a kid, I used to hear this chorus in church. It was called, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And there is. There is something about that name, Christ, Messiah, anointed. If you feel ignorant, he'll teach you. If you feel alone and isolated, he will befriend you. If you feel powerless and weak and defeated, he will empower you. He's the Messiah. You need him as prophet. You need him as priest. You need him as king. He takes care of the threefold problems of our sin. And if you wish to know life abundantly, listen to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this, your word. We thank you for the prophetic work of Jesus. And we, like billions before us, have been drawn inexorably to Jesus. We pray that we would listen to Jesus, that we would be touched by his command of human history, his command of redemptive history, that we would be touched by Jesus through his power and his miracles and his integrity and his martyrdom, that we would listen to the words of Jesus. We are so thankful that we have access to guidance in the way we should go. May we listen, hear, and heed. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.